Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from Doug Berman's living room.
You know why? Because he ain't here.
He's on vacation. Hey, pass that bag of nachos. Oh, yeah. Gee, who spilled that on the rug?
Hey, who cares? Oh, he won't know
what's the cat doing? Hey, quit it!
Get that cat out of here.
Hey, check out the refrigerator. See what else he's got.
Why does he have a white rug? Look at the spots we made.
What a mess. Hey, this is great, though. He should go on vacation all the time. We've patched in the line, so you can call directly to his house.
Yeah, he might even call us. Where the heck is he?
Oh, I don't know. It's a secret. He doesn't want anyone to know where he is. But he's away, and while he's away, the cat and the mice.
The cat will play.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Hi, this is Shelley Misro calling from Earthquake Land.
You're from California someplace.
Yeah, San Francisco.
San Francisco. Right. So what's up, Shelley?
Well, I have a 1988 Acura Integra that I've been pretty happy with, but it has a problem that it's always had, and I don't know that I can trust the guys who sold it to me, so I'm finally putting the question to you.
You can't trust anybody even vaguely associated with the automotive
industry.
Remotely
associated.
Vaguely. Yeah, yeah.
The clutch disengages very high in the pedal travel compared to other vehicles that I have owned or driven. I would say if my foot has to go from the floor to the top of the travel, you know, maybe say 4 inches, it doesn't happen until the last maybe inch, and I've had it readjusted a number of times. In fact, I've learned in self-defense to adjust it myself because I can't, even if somebody over-adjusts it to make it closer to the floor where I'm more comfortable with it, it seems to creep back up. And I wonder if that's really inherent in the vehicle or what's the deal.
Well, that's not good.
It's not good. Did you buy this vehicle new?
Sure did.
How many miles are on it?
Right now, about 29,000. Haven't driven it that much.
29,000. You the only driver?
Pretty much, yeah.
Who else? Someone 17 years old?
No.
No?
Well, no, I can't say.
Not that you know of. Well, those valet parkers, they can do a job on a car.
Well, you're right, because the clutch should begin to engage when it's like a third of the way in its travel from the floor.
No way.
So you're right that it doesn't feel right to you because it isn't right.
Now, if you didn't adjust it, would you eventually lose all free play? And for those of you that don't know what free play is,
mm-hmm.
Free play is the amount of travel that the pedal moves on the way down without any resistance.
That's right.
It's that 1 inch or so of easy movement. So you would lose that completely.
Sure would.
And then you get out and you turn the little thumb nut and you adjust the free play.
That's right.
You know what I suspect is happening? That the thumb nut isn't staying locked in position, and as you drive, it is actually turning, okay?
And unadjusting itself.
Uh-huh.
And what's happening is you're losing free play, if that's possible to do. Although it's hard to do because it has to tighten up in order for you to lose free play.
It's hard to believe that could happen. I mean, what's bad about it is that when you have no free play like that, when you have no play in the clutch is never really fully engaged. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if a week from now you need a new clutch. Because all the time that you're driving, when it's in this bad adjustment condition, you're wearing out the clutch like mad because it's slipping, basically.
Yeah, it has bothered me, but as I say, I can't get any cooperation from the dealer.
When you got the car, when you took delivery of it, it had 0 miles on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Maybe 1 mile or something.
And was it like this when you got it?
Sure was, and I complained immediately because I was stalling the thing out because I just wasn't used to it.
Sure.
And I've owned a number of vehicles. This is actually only my second manual transmission automobile, but I have owned a number of motorcycles, I think about 5 at this point. And I'm not used to having it, you know, feel like that or act in that way. And so they adjusted it at the time, and it helped some, but it still wasn't as close to the floor as I would have been comfortable with.
But when they adjusted it, they were never able to get it closer to the floor, significantly closer than it was.
Not much.
Oh, yeah.
So it's never really been the way I described engaging in its first third of travel.
No way, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've driven a number of Integras, and I don't remember them being any different from any other car. You know, most cars engage between a third and a halfway up, and when you're at that point where you're engaged at the top, you're going to wish you were engaged to the shop foreman at the dealership, because it's going to cost you a few bucks to get a new clutch put in this thing.
Gee.
But that's what you're going to need, and while they're at it, obviously you're going to have to pay for this. Maybe you can seek some kind of legal recourse.
No, I don't think you should pay for this. I mean, this clutch is going to wear out prematurely, and you have gone to them from day one complaining of this problem under no circumstances.
I have a record of it also. So that's to my favor, because, of course, the warranty just ran out, as they always do.
Well, the clutch is one of those gray areas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but this is not gray for you, because you've been complaining about this, and I would go in and demand, not ask, don't request, demand a new clutch.
Bring a firearm. and tell them you want them to replace the clutch cable as well.
Dump this car anyway, because the car for you is the new Infiniti. What do they call it, the G20 or something?
You guys earn much more money than I do. I'm just a
no, this is cheap.
I can't afford the
oh, yeah, they're giving these away.
What's the Integra cost?
The Integra was cheap.
I got a good deal. You really want to know?
Yeah, sure.
$11,000 out the door. No, $11,700, I beg your pardon.
Ooh, that is cheap.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a good talker. My father was a former car dealer.
Well, they gave you the one with the lousy clutch for $11,700. That's what you get. see you later, Shelley.
What you deserve.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot,
fellas. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe, we've been waiting for your call, man.
I hope so.
Where are you from?
Bloomfield, Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Where's Bloomfield? That's not
near
in Connecticut.
Hartford.
Near Hartford.
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 You got it.
There you go. You must be from Maine.
No.
What's up?
Well, my pal Tom told me I should call you guys. I've got a 1990 Peugeot 405 wagon.
This is my brother's favorite car.
Is it? I have never seen another 405 wagon. I think I have the only one.
Yeah.
Well, you probably have the only one that works, but... Well, maybe not. Who knows? No, actually, this is a very nice car, and I shouldn't say anything
nasty about it, but you will.
Well, we love it. My family loves it, but we have one problem with it.
Yeah.
When we stop it and we get out of it, it stinks. I mean, bad.
Oh.
Well, most people have that opinion when they get in it.
Don't you see those ads? Aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everybody did?
So the stink is...
compared to the car.
The stink is hydrogen sulfide.
Yeah.
Gas.
Okay.
Yes. Not laughing gas. We know how hydrogen sulfide is.
Mm. It's pretty hideous.
How many miles on this thing?
Oh, 8,000.
Yeah. Well, the smell is obviously coming from your catalytic converter, and I read an article some time ago that said it was because of too much nickel in the converter.
Too much nickel?
Yeah.
Does that mean I got to dump the converter?
Well, probably not. You might consider going back to the dealer and complaining about it, and they're going to say they all do this.
What?
And they probably all do.
Okay.
They probably all
think. And some vehicles do it more than others. I mean, there is the possibility that it's running too rich, and for that purpose, you should probably have an emissions test done on it to make sure that, in fact, it's not too rich.
Okay, we had an emissions tested in Connecticut because we have to.
And it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Mm. That isn't it. No, it's just the composition of the converter that's causing this. You can try switching brands of gasoline.
Okay. And somebody said if you bought a more expensive brand, given the cost of what it is these days.
No, expense doesn't make a difference to this. This is a problem which is inside the catalytic converter. It seems to happen more with foreign cars.
No, it seems to happen more with newer cars.
Okay, cause
we see it.
Because my Fiat never stunk.
It probably didn't even have a converter.
Fiat didn't have a converter.
But, and I mean, trust us, it did stink. You didn't know it.
I mean, what usually happens...
Different meaning.
Is
different
that
meaning
it,
of the word stink.
Right.
Okay.
Over time, though, the problem does seem to go away.
Okay.
I mean, if that's any consolation, I mean, it might take 20,000 miles, but lots of cars that have the problem, whatever the source is... After some number of miles, it gets less and less, and pretty soon you either that or your olfactory nerves give
up. No, I suggest you tough it out, Joe. I mean, I would try this.
Out, huh?
Get out of the car, okay, and you have the key in your right hand. You're going to lock the door.
Yeah.
Okay, hold your nose with the left hand. Okay, where are we going to go now, kids? you want to go to the movies? So you'll get the hang of it, and people will look at you kind of funny, but they'll when they get close enough to the car, they'll know what you're doing and why. But I wouldn't be worried about it. But ask them if they'd be willing to change the converter. And when they say no, change brands of gas and try one brand for several tanks full.
Okay. Any octane?
No, it doesn't make any difference.
No, the octane will not make a difference. The brand might make a difference.
Okay. And if that doesn't do anything for me, I'll try different brands of gas.
If you do find out something interesting, let us know, because we don't know the answer to this.
All righty.
Like if you find out which particular brand of gas works,
okay,
that would be nice to know.
All righty. I'll get back to you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, pay attention. We'll be right back with more calls and the Puzzler answer right after this.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
we as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Well, hey, look, it's time for the answer to last week's puzzler.
Puzzler.
Don't spill your coffee. Look out for the cat!
Get that cat out of here. Get him out of here.
Remember the puzzler?
I do, actually, this time. I vaguely remember the puzzler. It's something to do with automatic transmission fluid.
Wrong.
No?
No, I got a call many years ago from an anxious do-it-yourselfer who was doing a clutch job on his Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, it was an early model Honda, but it doesn't make any difference. They've had this system for a while. Anyway, he and his mother-in-law are out there in the driveway taking the transmission out. You remember that?
Yeah. It's coming to me now.
And the thing jacked up, and they had pulled the axles out and drained the transaxle oil, and he called me up, and he said, "Geez, something funny's going on here." He said, "I've got these hoses that are connected to the transaxle, and when I pull them off, power steering fluid comes out of these hoses."
How did he know it was power steering fluid?
Well, because it was the same color as power steering fluid, and he went over and looked at the reservoir, and it was emptying out.
Ah.
And he didn't even know he had power steering until this point. And he said, "Is this what's lubricating the transmission?" And I said, "No." I said, "You drained out the stuff that was lubricating the transmission, which is motor oil. That's what lubricates the transmission."
Right.
And the question was, why is there power steering fluid in his transmission? Good question, huh?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It didn't make any sense to him either.
Yeah.
But it does make sense, because Honda had a very interesting design, something called variable assist steering. When do you want the greatest amount of power steering?
When you're tiredest. Like early in the morning.
When you're trying to park.
Oh.
And when do you want the least? When is power steering the create the biggest disadvantage?
When my wife's driving.
When you're trying to drive at high speed.
Right.
You don't
right.
want power steering when you're trying to drive at high speed.
Right. You want to feel that road. Because you don't, without having to put your hand out.
Right, without having to drag your foot right on right. the buckle of your seatbelt right. hanging out there.
So variable assist power steering is when you get a lot of powerful steering when the car is standing still, and just a little bit of powerful steering when the car is going real fast.
And one of the easiest ways to do this, Honda figured out, is to pump that power steering fluid into a valve in the transmission, so that the faster the final drive turns, that is the gears that eventually drive the wheels, the less pressure goes to the power steering rack and pinion, so that you get diminished effect of the power steering when the vehicle's moving at high speed, and as soon as the vehicle begins to slow down, you get increased power steering, and of course you get the most power steering when the vehicle is what? Stopped, but the engine is still running.
Most powerful steering.
Most powerfulest. Do we have a winner?
We have a winner. The winner this week is Steve Jackson from Los Angeles. Steve will get, of course, the Car Talk t-shirt when it comes back washed and dried, or a Save the Skeets bumper sticker, or...
Wait a minute. Last week's winner got...
Save the Skeets bumper sticker. Or if he doesn't want the t-shirt, he can have unlimited use of Doug Bourbon's apartment the next time Doug's out of town. Just like,
right.
Just like we have it now.
We have a new puzzle.
What a party this has been, huh?
We have a new puzzle coming up in just a little while, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we'll try to take a few calls. But before we take a call, I have a letter to read.
Oh, no. Come on. You're not supposed to read. Get that little...
I thought this was a cute little letter, and I got a kick out of it, and I hope you do too. It's not often that I read letters, and I think people will appreciate
my
brevity. I mean, the fact is, I don't often read letters, but when I do, I usually get right to the point. They're not, you know, compounded with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I just get right to it. I read the letter,
yes,
and that's the end of
once
it.
Once you get to it.
It doesn't take a lot of introduction or anything like that. I mean,
right.
it's usually a simple matter to just read the letter, and that's my strong suit. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Should I start now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do I have authorization? This letter comes from Mike Kennedy of Lexington, Kentucky.
No last names, please.
Dear Tappets, appreciated your warning about... Who's going to do the da-da-da-das?
Just point to me. I'll do it.
Appreciated your warning about driving with the oil light on. Here's a motivating statistic couched in $1960.
Motivating statistic. I like
it. Use an appropriate multiplier, say 10, to convert to today's cost. Friends and I, whose spouses unfortunately contributed to the data, determined the following engine wear costs for driving VW sedans and buses under the conditions indicated. 1. Oil light off. 0.5 cents per mile. Got it?
Got it.
Oil light on. $146 per mile. Maximum miles allowed, 3.
That's pretty good. That's pretty accurate.
1-800-332-9287.
Actually, 3 is a lot.
Yeah, 3 is.
You go 3.
Call Guinness. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jennifer Reed.
Hi, Jennifer.
From Jennifer.
Hi, I'm calling from Ithaca, New York.
Yeah.
So what's up in Ithaca?
Well, I have an 81 Rabbit, and as far as intrigue goes, I'm beginning to believe that the electrical system is possessed.
Gee, you know, Carl Sagan has an 81 Rabbit, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's something in there.
I think it's an 83.
Yeah, he drives a Volkswagen.
Uh-huh.
So he ain't making millions writing those
He's probably
books.
Driving a diesel.
No, not Carl. So he's go ahead.
He's probably got an LTD. Nice big Crown Victoria.
No, you know what he's got? A Ford Galaxy.
Yeah.
When
he puts on the blonde wig and the mustache, he drives the Crown Vic. He's not kidding us.
So what's up with your 81 Rabbit?
Well, I'm getting this strange electrical behavior that has developed in two phases. Mm. I've had the car for about 2 years, and about a month ago, the headlights and the dash lights simultaneously would suddenly get brighter. I mean, much brighter.
Mm.
And then they would equally suddenly get dim again. And it would
This is as you're driving?
While driving.
While driving.
And it would do it sometimes for long intervals, sometimes very short intervals, and completely random as far as I could tell. Didn't have anything to do with RPMs or going over bumps or any of that.
Yeah. How much brighter? I mean, did you have to put your sunglasses on? I mean, was it...
Well, I noticed it because the dashboard, I mean, it looked like the whole thing had gotten radioactive. I mean,
oh, really?
Really bright.
Yeah.
Was the tape player playing faster?
No, no tape player. In fact, I did try
Was
to
the radio playing faster?
The radio behaved different, and it didn't.
No, the radio is not that voltage sensitive.
How about windshield wipers? Ever have the windshield wipers on with this? Pardon?
They've been behaving normally.
And how often is it apt to do this? What's the cycle here?
Well, like I say, it started a month ago, and it did it increasingly frequently to the point where when I went out on a 20-minute drive, I could count on, you know, 30-40 fluctuations of the lights.
30 or 40 in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, are you absolutely sure that the bright condition is the anomaly and not, in fact,
the dim condition?
Well,
how's that for
a
question?
I can't be sure of that. Right. All I know is that since the time I've had the car for 2 years, what I have considered normal is the dimmer condition, unless I've always been driving at half power or something.
You squint a lot? My brother has a dim condition. We don't talk about it much. It's, frankly, quite an embarrassment. But anyway, I'm going to say...
I have one other clue about the lights that I notice sometimes that as it notches back down to being dim, the battery light indicator on the dashboard will just barely flicker.
Ha!
Woo!
Yeah.
Only when it goes back down dim, not when it goes up bright.
It goes back down dim. Hmm.
Okay, well, I know what's going on.
I think
I know what's going on. And even if I don't, you should replace this piece anyway.
But don't worry. I'll bail him out when he gets
it wrong. No, this is the right answer. You have, you have a faulty, or about to be faulty, voltage regulator.
Mm.
And the voltage regulator is stuck onto the back of the alternator in this car, and it's held on by two screws, and it also contains the brushes which ride on the alternator slip rings.
Uh-huh.
And it's literally a 10-minute job to change this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you could even do it yourself if you wanted to.
Okay.
Because
we own a small company that makes these voltage regulators, and we haven't had many orders lately, so we figure this can help.
But this is almost a 99% certainty. Uh-huh. For being what's wrong, because there isn't much else in this system.
Well, let me give you the phase two part of this.
Come on, Jennifer.
Well, it probably matches your diagnosis.
Go ahead.
All right, what's the last piece of information?
Well, now, in the last week, the lights are hardly fluctuating at all. But instead, I have another thing that's starting to behave weirdly. The turn signals.
Going slowly.
No, when I turn on the indicator.
Yeah.
The turn light does not go on, and it does not flash. Inside, the turn signal light goes on.
But doesn't
but
flash.
The weird part is when I turn the indicator off, instead of the little dash light just going off, it does this real slow fade.
This sounds serious.
Yeah, well, that's why I was suspecting possession.
Now, we could build a whole show around this one.
Dawn, Jennifer wins the prize for the most interesting call of the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to send you a free dirty T-shirt. Just for having the most interesting call of the day.
Well, while he's.
I know. I'm giving you all the time.
Kill some more time.
Now this rabbit, it's red, is it not?
No. Now, I don't know why you would think that. It's green.
It's one of the green ones.
Oh yeah. I'm going to guess that the problems are unrelated.
I would have said that myself.
But in any case, don't do the second thing I'm going to recommend until you've done the first one.
Oh, okay.
So the first one is replace the regulator, and while they're at it, make sure that they check the ground wire that runs between the alternator and the engine. That's crucial to the whole operation of the whole shebang.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that's item one. Okay.
In fact, it may well be that the regulator is okay. Because if that ground wire is not connected or is loose,
it won't make it overcharged.
Strange things can happen.
Well,
it might be occasionally making connection.
Well, the other if that solves problem A but not problem B, the thing I would next suspect is the directional flasher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if that doesn't solve anything, come on, ask some questions.
This is a green, you said this was a green rabbit?
So how long have you been in Ithaca?
So how long have you been married to Carl?
All right, I've got it. All right. If that doesn't solve the problem, then it's likely that the problem is inside the fuse box. One of the problems that these early rabbits had is that water gets in the fuse box through the antenna opening. In fact, our esteemed assistant producer Don Jennings has one of these cars.
What happens is the place where the antenna enters the fender, water drips in around that hole, and what's right under it?
Ah.
The fuse box.
Yes.
And then when the water gets in the fuse box, it gets rusty and weird things happen.
Okay.
So it's possible that has happened and that's causing all of your problems, but it generally wouldn't cause the overcharging condition. But it would be great if someday when the thing was going through its phases, you just whip this thing into a gas station and then somebody throw a voltmeter on the battery. And my guess is if the lights are on their bright phase, then it's going to show that the thing is overcharging like mad. Maybe up 17, 18 volts.
But the voltage regulator is cheap enough that you can just put it in.
Right, but that would corroborate the voltage regulator diagnosis.
Yeah. If none of that works, I'll give it the universal incantation.
Right, okay.
All right, see you, Jennifer.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Car Talk. We'll be right back with more calls and a new puzzler. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Hello and welcome back to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to answer your questions about cars, anything automotively related.
Or anything related to Doug's apartment, like what's in his closets.
Yeah, Doug's wardrobe. Why, Doug's cat.
Doug's cat. how much money he's got in the top drawer.
Yeah.
Why does he keep all that money in the top drawer?
I don't know, Jesus.
I mean, why did he keep all that money?
Well, look, while we're going through Doug's drawers, we'll go on to the new puzzler. Many, many years ago.
Yeah. In your lifetime? That's a hint.
No.
Not in your lifetime?
No. Several hundred years ago. Oh, how about that? That's a pretty good hint, huh?
Several hundred years ago.
Yeah. Somewhere in Europe. You get the scene now? I'm going to try to build and kind of construct the scene. I mean,
many years ago.
Close your eyes.
Several hundred years ago in a kingdom far away.
Somewhere,
can we narrow it down?
Somewhere in Europe in a classroom. maybe a third or fourth grade classroom.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
A teacher is assigning her students some busy work as a kind of punishment because the class has misbehaved.
Her? Do you think several hundred years ago that school teachers were hers?
A school teacher is assigning his class.
Was assigning the class.
This assignment.
Am I breaking the flow of this puzzle?
Can I start over again? I was trying to... Brevity. Remember that? Brevity brother.
Brevity brother. The Brevity brothers.
Okay, so here it is. I don't know if it's a third grade or fourth grade.
It's hundreds of years
students,
ago. It's Europe.
And the teacher says, okay, wise guys.
This ought to keep you a little
busy for a while. I want you to add up the numbers between 1 and 100. I.e. 1 plus 2 plus 3.
I got 6 so far.
Plus 4
10,
plus 5
15,
plus 6
21,
plus 7.
22.
As you can see, it begins to get difficult.
It does. Okay? Plus, there are lots of them.
And don't forget, they were little kids. They could barely even make the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 mm-hmm. plus 2, and you can draw the line, add them up.
Yeah.
You get 3, and then you add 3. So you can see the problem.
Of course, I understand the problem.
After about a minute or so, one of the kids raises his hand and says, I have the answer.
She says, the hell you do.
And he says, the answer is 5,050.
Yeah.
And she says,
you
yeah.
cheated.
And indeed, he had the answer. The uh-huh. question is, how did he do it so quickly?
Cheated.
Looked at the kid next to him and had the answer, but was too timid to
right.
divulge it.
And that's part A of the question. And part two.
Right. And part two, for extra credit, and the extra credit awards you a clean T-shirt.
Yeah.
If you get this. Who was
who
this
was
kid?
Who was this kid? Who are those guys?
Right. And he was a famous mathematician.
Yeah.
So if you think you know the answer, you can write to us at Puzzler Tower, care of the Bushings Institute, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR. And if you don't have room for all of this on one envelope, you can roll around to the back. 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215. And while we're on the topic, we have been devoid, I would say, of good letters to the Woe and Intrigue department. And we keep looking in the Woe and Intrigue box. And
yeah, there is. We haven't gotten a lot of Woe and Intrigue mail lately, have we?
No. We've gotten woefully little Woe and Intrigue mail, actually.
So we need a little more Woe and Intrigue mail. Otherwise, I'll have nothing to read, and therefore I'll fall asleep during the show. We don't have much in the derision division.
Oh, yeah, yes, we do. They keep that stuff away from us, actually. They don't want to hurt our feelings.
Right.
But the derision division has been chock full of letters. But the Woe and Intrigue department has fallen down, so to speak. So we want you to boost up the Woe and Intrigue department, and the address is...
What if somebody wanted to write us a letter of Woe and Intrigue having to do with automotive things? Or transportation.
Puzzler Tower, Bushings Institute, Woe and Intrigue Division...
Department of Redundancy Department.
Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston...
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215. If you'd like to call us and have us repeat the address, we could just do a whole show of address. We could probably kill an hour doing that, right?
That's the whole idea.
1-800-332-9287. Hello.
What happened to Car Talk Village was part of the address once.
Well, no, we dropped that.
Line.
Too cutesy. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, you've got Larry from San Antonio, boys.
Hi, Larry. What's happening?
From the home of the Alamo.
You betcha.
Yeah, I've been in the Alamo. Old Davey and I. What's up?
You and the ghosts of 180 other men, yeah.
Yeah, right. Actually, you know how many men died at the Alamo?
Yeah, 7.
No.
Yeah, the others were just sick.
183 men, I think.
That's about right.
183 men.
Really?
Yeah, counting Colonel Travis. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted, didn't I? I do that all the time. What's up, Larry?
Well, I have a 1982 Mercedes 280E.
Mm-hmm.
I had a transmission coolant line problem. The lines got cracked inside the radiator, and radiator fluid got into the automatic transmission.
Ooh, that's bad.
Real bad.
So we didn't drive the car.
Yeah.
Well, we got the radiator replaced and then took care of as much of the lines as we could, took the car to a pit and drained out the fluid. It looked like Pepto-Bismol.
Right, right.
That's exactly right.
Put in new fluid, and the car now surges for about four or five seconds when it shifts up.
Yeah.
When you start out in the morning.
Yeah.
However, after it's been driven for 20, 25 miles, there's no, and it gets warmed up, there are no more surges.
Did you drain the transmission, or did the mechanic do it, or who did this?
Took it to a local lube pit. We drained the transmission and the torque converter.
That was my question. Good. You did drain the torque converter.
We didn't drain the torque converter until about 2 days later. We found out there was a plug on it.
Uh-huh.
However, and then, of course, the transmission holds almost 7.5 quarts of fluid.
But now when you pull the dipstick out, is the stuff nice and pink?
It's nice and red.
Yeah.
Bright red.
Bright red. Okay. So it's, the Pepto-Bismol is gone.
All the pink stuff is gone. As a matter of fact, I took it back to the pit a couple days later and had them drain it again just to make sure that the pink stuff was gone.
You know, one step ahead of me here, Larry. Good. Because I was going to suggest that you do exactly that, because you did drive around for a couple of days with all that stuff in the torque converter. Did you drain the torque converter again?
I have not drained the torque converter again, no.
Hmm.
Well, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do that.
It'd be a bad idea, because it doesn't take much contamination to make the thing act strangely.
Although, usually, I mean, eventually what's in the converter is going to mix with everything else. So, you know, there's probably not very much of the contamination left in there. What's left in there, however, is the damage that it wreaked. The havoc. So whatever happened is over and done with. What you need, I think, at this point, is a case of transmission medic.
A case? A whole case?
Well, it's a big car. you might want, I wouldn't do anything. Drive it. It's in the interest of science. I mean, what's your alternative? Your alternative is, you have three choices. Wait a minute. You could do nothing. That's choice one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do nothing. Shall I draw a little decision tree?
No, because I'm trying to think of what the third one is.
I could refinance the Kuwaiti national debt and buy a new transmission.
Yeah, I mean, there are three things. You can either do nothing, you can have it professionally rebuilt, or you can get the transmission medic.
Right. But if you do nothing, are you apt to worry about it? Are you a worrier, Larry?
Well, it's just that it wasn't doing what it was doing before, and I'm curious as to why after it warms up, and then, I come to a dead stop and accelerate out down the road, it doesn't do the surging.
Have you noticed any improvement since you first noticed the symptom?
It hasn't gotten any worse, hasn't gotten any better.
Yeah, what could be better than that? Just like my brother. He hasn't gotten much worse, but hasn't gotten any better either.
Yeah.
Well, I would do nothing, Larry. I think you owe it to science to do nothing to this and just drive it. And let's see what happens.
Well, it's not hurting anything.
No, and it's not hurting anything that isn't already damaged.
Right, it is not hurting anything because it's already hurt. So you might want to drive it for a couple of weeks, see if it improves, which I doubt that it will, and then put the transmission medic in it.
Well, what does this stuff do?
We don't know.
Nobody knows what this stuff does. I mean, it goes in there, and it's. I think it's actually crushed up bananas and oatmeal.
Oh.
And we don't know what it does,
but it fills up all the holes, and it makes it work. God only knows.
Actually, I have had a couple of cases of this stuff. No, I've had a couple of instances where this stuff actually seemed to work. In the vast majority of cases, it did nothing whatsoever.
But I have good feelings about this one. I think this is one of the times when it's going to work. It works one time out of 10. So try it 10 times.
Oh, put in 10 cans. See you later, Larry. Bye-bye.
I never thought of that before.
It is time to say goodbye.
What?
Yes.
How time flies.
Another hour of NPR's Car Talk has mercifully...
Answer the door. I think the girls are here.
Although not quickly. Come to an end. This show would have been produced by Doug Berman if he were ever here. What a great apartment he used to have before we trashed it. But anyway, our producer this week is the inestimable and beardless Don Jennings, who has shaved off his whiskers. Ken Rogers is our engineer, country western expert, and dean of the Department of Auto Musicology. He needs submissions, so if you have any automotive music, automotive-related music, Mm-hmm. Send them to the Department of Auto Musicology, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215. Our technical advisor is
Jay
Sebastian Lawler. I wonder what the J stands for. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Why is he looking at me like that? The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Dismore.
What a man.
Our staff grammarian is I am Shirley Wright, who's bringing us new, taking us, doing something to us every week. We don't know what it is. Our staff composer is Bela Car Talk. And our ever-dedicated and faithful Car Talk assistant is Stephanie Cool. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.